I know it's late in the afternoon, and everyone's rear ends are probably sore from sitting all day, but we've got a real treat now. Susan Guess and her daughter Morgan Guess, as you can see from the logo of the Guess Anti-Bullying Fund that they've been involved with, is out of Paducah. And you've probably seen Susan and Morgan in various media outlets talking about the work that they have done in Paducah, now in our region, across our state, and now nationally. Susan is one of our regents here at the university, and so she wears many hats. And you know, this work is just one of her examples of where she's sort of carrying the banner on something we all need to help and get behind. So with that, Susan or Morgan, I don't know which one's going to go first.
Thank you for staying this afternoon. I know it's a warm day, and I am a Murray State graduate, but I'm also a Louisville graduate, so I also understand the need to see the game this afternoon. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Bullying is near and dear to our heart, and you'll hear why later, but Morgan's going to start the presentation. She is my 10-year-old daughter, and we're passionate about this because she was bullied, and she'll share her story. But as I said yesterday, it was her first presentation as a 10-year-old, so appreciate your support of her today. And I also want to share some joy she received last week. She was awarded the Governor's Volunteer Youth Volunteer Service Award for her work on bullying. And so she's going to be recognized. She's going to be recognized at the Governor's Mansion in June, and obviously she's very proud of herself, as she should be. And we are proud of her as well, not so much as for the bullying work, but because of the person that she is. So Morgan is going to begin. I'm going to sit this here. You can hold it, or they can probably hear you. And you can begin our presentation, please.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having my mom and me here today. The last year and a half has been quite a journey for us. And while our big goal right now is for the governor to appoint a statewide task force on bullying and for Kentucky to be the first state to proclaim not in our state, I think it's important for you to know how we arrived at that goal. When I was 8, I was bullied. My mom told me that bad things are going to happen in life, and I can choose to blame others, annoy the problem, or be a part of the solution. We decided together that being a part of the solution is the right decision. So I created a video where I share my story, and I wanted to share it with you now so you can understand what happened to me and how I felt. Pinching me in the back of my neck, and she'd start pulling my hair. I just thought she was angry about something, but it kept going on. And she'd think that that's being nice to me, so she'd hold on to me, and she'd pinch me, and she'd grab me by the arm, and she'd pull me wherever she was. I tried to run away from her, but she wouldn't let me. And I didn't tell my mom at first because I was afraid something would happen. And one day she asked me, and I said yes. After it happened, she'd get even more mean at me. Even more mad and meaner at me because I told on her, and I was afraid. Well, after they made her stop bullying me, I couldn't be by her. I couldn't be near her. And nobody knew that she was a bully. So when I went out on the playground, she would play with my friends, and she would play with all my friends, and I would just felt kind of lonely. When they found out about it, the school would help me. And if you do get bullied, you should tell a parent, a teacher, even a friend.
They help, and it may be hard, but it's important to stand up for yourself. I don't want to be bullied anymore, and I don't want anybody else to be bullied. So if you want to post a story on my page, feel free to.
Third grade was tough. I was sad and scared. No one in the school told the other kids I was being bullied, and they told us to stay away from one another. So she would get to my friends on the playground first, and then I'd have no one to play with. Then finally she moved to another classroom. Although she didn't bully me all the time, she did continue to bully me, and it continued throughout the school year. I think she liked to scare me. She would scare me all the time, and it made me feel uncomfortable. She followed me in the bathroom and would stand right behind me. She wouldn't say anything. She would just make sure she followed me everywhere. I went, and she would stand right back behind me. She hit me in the playground near the end of the school year, and her sister confronted me in the bathroom one day. I never knew when it was going to happen. But I did know that my stomach hurt all the time, and I had to take medicine for what my doctor called stomach spasms. He also told us I was clinically depressed, and he believed a medicine called antidepressants would help. Sometimes I would get dizzy at school. My doctor finally suggested that I leave school and switch to another. He said I was emotionally unsafe at school. My mom and dad talked with me, and I didn't want to move to another school, and I didn't think I should have to. My parents agreed. I'm happy to report that I have a great year this year. I'm not taking any medications. I'm not afraid. The girl who bullied me was held back in the third grade, and I think that she's now left our school. So for any kids who you know that are suffering or struggling, I hope they know that things will improve. But they won't only improve if we all stand up for ourselves and we stand up together. Please encourage them to ask an adult for help. If the first person doesn't help them, don't give up, ask someone else. I also believe that we kids are the ones that are going to change the culture of bullying. We are in school together all day, and as much as our parents and teachers can help, we can't change our culture without us. We have to stand up to the bullies. Kindness will win the day every time. Every time if we make that our goal. My mom is going to share the work and projects that we have done in the last year and a half. But I wanted to share our latest project, my project, really. I started a Kids for Kindness Facebook page and Twitter feed. It is a place for kids to share positive things about their friends at school, teachers, and friends they have made around their community. It is a great way to encourage positive thinking and positive action. I ask that you like my page and that you help us build a strong community of kindness by posting something tonight. The last thing my mom says to me when she drops me off at school is find someone, anyone, and say something nice to them. Tell them you like their shoes, she says. Tell them they look nice. She always tells me that it'll make a difference in the world, in their day, and someone else could hear it and they might do something nice for somebody else. I believe that. I hope you do as well. Now please welcome my mom, Susan Gatson. Mm-hmm.
We're all in this together, and again, we appreciate coming here because, as you might recognize, this is near and dear to our heart. Before Morgan was bullied, I really didn't know much about bullying. I told some people yesterday I had six brothers, so I didn't really have any problems with bullying myself. But my youngest brother, he was bullied, and he committed suicide 6 years ago. And so I don't do this just for Morgan, but I do it for him. And we do it, too, because what we've learned over the time, the statistics of what happens to these kids is alarming to me. 13 million kids will be bullied this year. 160,000 kids don't go to school every day because they're afraid. Think about that. 160,000 kids are afraid to go to school. And when they are there, how well are they performing when they're afraid to go out of the classroom into the hallways or into the cafeteria or to the playground? Every 7 seconds, a teen is bullied. And kids as young as seven Look at Morgan, she's 10. Kids as young as 7 are intentionally harming themselves, cutting themselves because of the stress they feel from being bullied. Morgan didn't tell me she was being bullied, which surprised me because I am fortunate enough to work for a company that allows me to work her school schedule. So I take her to school every day, I pick her up every day. I knew what was happening in her life. And I did start suspecting it. And when I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" she said it was because I was afraid it would get worse. And that is the power of the bully. 1 out of 5 bullies will spend time in jail by the time they're 25. This is who we are becoming as a society, and I know that we all know that we can do better. And bullying happens because we allow it to happen. It's as simple as that to me. As parents, as citizens, as members of the human race, we must begin to stand up and say, we are not going to allow bullying. When we turn our heads or we tell our children to do so, we're telling them that they're not important enough to fight for. And no, that's not the message we want to send. Did you know that Kentucky leads the nation for teen suicide attempts? We're number one in the country for teenagers attempting to take their life. Morgan and I are drawn to this cause because of the power of their absence. The absence of kids and of young adults, of future parents, of friends, healers, and leaders, none of whom will ever be. All of whom who have left us because of young adults or children, they were bullied beyond their capacity to endure. We owe them, and we owe them more than talk. Morgan won't become one of the absent, and we don't want another child to either. And so because of this, we did take action. And our first one really was Morgan decided to make that video. She wouldn't allow me in the room, and she's still uncomfortable watching it. About 3,500 people watched it. I made one after it. Hers is, this is Morgan's story, mine is, this is Susan's story in terms of the parents' perspective. WPSD and the Paducah TV station picked it up. And our approach has always been a very positive one. And I think that is how change can happen. It isn't about blaming the school or school policies or the parents of the bully, because the truth is we all have some blame to carry in this. But it is about how we can come together and make a difference. So we started with that, and then we started a fund through the West Kentucky Community Foundation. And for anyone who wants to do something in their community, it's a great way to raise funds to make a difference, because they cover insurance and the tax information. They send out the thank you letters. They provide a mechanism by which people can make a tax-deductible donation. They ensure the donors that the money is being used as intended to. So it's a great way to do it. We raised nearly $20,000 last year. We had one generous donor who gave us $7,000 as a matching gift. And of course that helped us. And most of the gifts were from the business community. And then early on, we had two goals to raise the money. We wanted to bring a woman by the name of Jody Blanco to Paducah, and we wanted the bully movie. So, to me, things come to you in ways unexpected, and they come to you for a reason. And I tell people, Morgan and I pray about this every night, because we don't want this to be about us. We want it to be about what it is that our message should be for the day, or what needs to be said. And so we were Books a Million one day in Paducah, Morgan needed a poetry book. And you know how the books, there'll be a book out of place that catches your eye. And that's what happened to me. And I saw this book, and it was Please Stop Laughing at Us. It's written by a woman named Jody Blanco, as I mentioned. I took it home, I read it in 2 days, and I said, she's coming to Paducah. She was $13,000 for 5 days. But again, as Morgan doesn't like when Mama Bear comes out, you know, Mama Bear can get a lot of things done. So we contacted her. We did get her on the schedule. And again, by having a positive approach, the school welcomed that. So in August, 2 weeks after school started, 6,000 kids in Paducah-McCracken County, all kids in grades 4 through 12, did hear her. She also spoke with school personnel, and then it ended with a community parent seminar. So you completed the circle in terms of including everyone that is affected by bullying. And just a couple things that really struck me after I read her book. She says, for years I put up with the abuse because my parents and my teachers told me to ignore the bullies. Don't give them the satisfaction, she says. Today, I think of all the adults who give kids that same advice, and I still don't understand the logic. We preach to our children not to be bystanders, that if you see someone being picked on, stand up and defend that person. But if you're the one being harassed, we tell them to ignore it. Isn't that a mixed message? It always made me wonder, she said, why was I less worth defending than someone else? And we're all worth defending. And we certainly should reach out to children who are being mistreated, tormented, and isolated. Many of them suffer in silence, just like Morgan was. So Jody did come, as I said, and she made quite an impact. We saw kids cry. We saw kids show us where they were self-harming themselves. We saw kids come forward and ask for help. So we knew that change was happening and good things were happening in our community. The second item was the bully movies. I said, early on I didn't know a lot about bullying, so like everybody else, I turned to Google and started looking for resources, and I came across the trailer for the movie Bully, and I knew that it would change the hearts of people. I knew it did me, and I knew that it provided me with a voice, because even before the movie came out, I was showing that trailer to everyone I could. And it obviously has started a national conversation. Is anyone in here seeing the movie Bully? So several have. Are those of you that didn't see it, are you staying for the movie? Because I do have two movie trailers on it, and again, it's just so heart-wrenching to see the devastating effects of it. So I was afraid that we wouldn't get the movie in Paducah because I didn't think we were large enough, and I knew it was going to be limited release, so we found a contest online where the top 10 voting cities would get a free screening of the movie, and the top voting city would get a visit from the director, Lee Hirsch. So we started a social media campaign, and we started encouraging people to vote for Paducah, and before long, people in Murray were voting for us, and people from Paducah that had moved to California were voting for us, and at one point, we rose to the number one position. We were really excited. We knew Lee Hirsch was going to come to Paducah. Well, we ended at number three, which is, to me was still spectacular, because again, it was just another way to lift the voice of bullying, to bring people together, and to see the interest. The good thing is Lee Hirsch did come to Paducah because he felt the passion of the people in this community, in this region. We sent him a top 10 reasons Lee Hirsch should come to Paducah. We, you know, tried to use my PR skills to bring him here. And he came, and we had a special screening, and we had a Q&A with kids from around the region. And it was sad, some of the things kids stood up and said, where they would tell people and no one would listen to them. I know I spoke to script writing students here at Murray State, and one girl cried the entire time I talked. She cried. And as soon as I was finished, she left. So I never did know her story. Another girl told me she became anorexic as a result of a girl and her mother making fun of her for years. And then there was a boy in the back. He had his arms crossed the entire time. Big guy. I mean, big enough that I thought he could have been a football player. So he raised his hand, and I was bracing myself for what he was going to tell me about how bullying wasn't a big deal. That wasn't his story at all. And in fact, he ended up being from Paducah. He went to a Christian school, and he said he was bullied, but nobody believed in him because of his size, and that he would have taken his own life had it not been for his faith. And it struck me as I was driving back to Paducah about these young people here at Murray State, and the bullying had happened probably 10 years before. It still affected them so deeply. And so, again, I knew that good work was being done, and I knew no more people needed to be a part of it. And it was funny, I said, again, as people come to you, Becky and I formally met in person yesterday, but when Lee Hirsch came, we had all these signs that said, not in our town, not in our town. Lee Hirsch said, did you know there's a movement called Not in Our Town? And I said, no, and then I thought we might be in trouble for some copyright rules or something. And he introduced us to Becky, and the bully people have given Paducah and this region so much national exposure for our work, and Becky has done the same. She shared our story, she shared things that we're doing, and so the more that we can do that, obviously the more impact that we can have. We talked to Girl Scout troops, we talked to Kiwanis clubs, we talked to anybody that would give us money or hear our story. We started a Facebook page called the Face, I Matter, the Face of the Bullying. Marie State's done stories on us. Again, we've tried to talk to anyone that will talk about this, and we've seen the power of people who have come on board. We've received calls at home, and people have visited whose kids have been bullied, and they don't know what to do. And I understand that. And so much of it seems to be people are afraid. They're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to go to their school about it. And often I'll say, well, what happened when you talked to the school? Why didn't you talk to the school? And it's that fear of retaliation that they have. And I'm not saying that our story was perfect, but I do think the school did the best they could with the information and the skills and training that they had at the time. And as Morgan said, she's had a great year, and I think we've all learned some lessons from it. Murray, I said we are linking each other community by community. The Murray Human Rights Commission and the city passed an anti-bullying resolution. And because of that, our community followed suit. And last month, our mayor and county judge and our Human Rights Commission joined our foundation and signed a anti-bullying resolution declaring Paducah McCracken County bully free. And our mayor is appointing a 15-member task force this month so that every segment of the community can become involved. And we've seen that. We've seen the Market House Theater do things with young kids. We've seen the Carson Center as part of their educational series offer programming on bullying. But our big goal is for the governor to appoint a statewide task force on bullying. We think great things are happening all around the state. We just think we don't have a mechanism by which to share, and I think a lot of it doesn't cost a lot of money. I told a story I read in Eastern Kentucky where they have something called a friendship bench. So, and it could be an existing bench. If a kid's being bullied or if they just don't have anyone to play with, sit on the bench and the teacher comes up and sees how they can help them. So there are a lot of ways I think that we can share information. I've talked to Yum about being the lead corporate sponsor. We've been working on it for about 9 months and we've learned how slow things can happen in that way. It does require executive order. So obviously they're doing their due diligence. We've gotten letters of support from around the state, from UK, from the Louisville mayor, Murray State's president, Leadership Kentucky, the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, the Kentuckiana Girl Scouts. The day after I talked to the woman who heads the Kentuckiana Girl Scouts in Louisville, she's a former general, I believe, she called me the next day and a 15-year-old Girl Scout from Madisonville took her life because she'd been bullied. It's affecting all of us. And I have to tell you that my eyesight's leaving me in this old age, but I was really struck by what the UK president said. He said, on behalf of the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Kentucky, as well as the Wildcat family beyond our campus and community, it is my pleasure to offer our deepest support for statewide alliance and partners involved in the Not in Our State Kentucky Anti-Bullying Initiative. In higher education, he said, we hold a special promise to prepare Kentucky sons and daughters for lives of leadership, meaning, and purpose. Nothing runs more contrary to that principle or encumbers the opportunities we seek to offer than an unsafe and degrading environment for the Commonwealth's future and our brightest hope, our children. Addressing instances of bullying in our schools and communities is an essential part of fostering an atmosphere for positive human development and growth. And fortunately, we've gotten people all over the state, Bowling Green, Madisonville, the Morehead State University student government president. People in Kentucky are saying we do need to stand up. And how great would it be for Kentucky to be the leader, the first state to stand up and say, we will not allow bullying in this state. I think Kentucky can be the leader, and I'm still hopeful that's going to happen. I talked with the governor's office a couple weeks ago. I drove up there. I did a white paper. I presented goals. Becky's helped me. Then I got it down to one page. We talked about types of people that should be on the task force, from mental health to law enforcement to others. And so, again, I think that is going to happen. And the way we've sold it, if you will, is tying it to Kentucky's quality of life measurements, and really that is what bullying does. Again, when you talk about 160,000 kids who don't go to school every day, that means they're not in school. That means if we can improve that, that can improve absenteeism, it can improve test scores, it can improve graduation rates. When we lead the nation in teen suicide attempts, and I think we're 17th in the country overall for suicide, think about the mental health issues. One out of five bullies will spend time in jail by the time they're 25. You can look at almost any measurable as it relates to bullying, and you can see how if we change that, It can improve the quality of life for all of us. So that is what our message is. And for those of us, or for those around, and I've heard it talk about bullying as a rite of passage. I hope you talk to them if they say that to you. And people say you can't change bullying. Well, we've changed attitudes and behaviors on smoking and drinking and driving. Think about how big those are. People said you couldn't do it, and we have. And if we did that, we can change it on bullying. I want to show you two videos if I have time. And I think it really, Morgan's more technologically savvy than I am. If you go to the one that has all my links that matches that. I want to show you two videos. One is bystanders at their worst. And I want you to watch it. It was on a Louisville TV station. It's in a high school in Indiana. A boy is beat unconscious. But what I want you to see is how the kids stand around and watch. Nobody comes to his aid. Yes, that's it.
A disturbing attack at school caught on tape. A boy beaten unconscious as other students stand by and watch.
It makes you sick to your stomach, really.
This is 13-year-old Austin McDaniel, the eighth grader you see here getting pounded in this video taken at Benjamin Rush Middle School. Watch as a 15-year-old classmate in the white t-shirt slams Austin to the ground and punches him relentlessly.
It was horrifying. He is very close to the office, very close to a classroom. Not one teacher, no one helps him.
His mother claims the school let her son down. They never called 911 and waited too long to call her.
My son sat at the school with a head concussion and other injuries for an hour and 12 minutes before they called.
Beyond that, she says, the school never alerted other parents or students about the attack. They simply swept it under the rug, she says. And 11 days later,
right here,
Austin's friend Logan got beat up too. He thinks it was a retaliation.
You have to like watch your back and make sure nobody's gonna attack you.
Their parents say it shouldn't have to be that way. So now they're suing the school in hopes officials will do a better job at stopping bullying.
This is a complete lack of supervision. It's a complete lack of watching what's going on in front of you. It's just every parent's worst nightmare.
A nightmare no one should have to go through.
You go to bed every night seeing that video in your head, and you wake up every morning watching that video in your head.
You just feel like nobody looks out for you or anything.
Okay, now I want to show you the total opposite of where we'd love to get. And that is kids who see someone being bullied and what they do to respond to it.
The varsity soccer team had played 10 or 11 games and lost every single one by really embarrassing margins. Our goalkeeper, Daniel Quay. He was taking a lot of criticism, even though he was only a freshman playing varsity goalkeeper. We thought we were on the road to our first game that wouldn't be a loss. At the last minute, everything changed. Their star player, with a minute left, cracked the shot, and unfortunately, Kui wasn't able to stop it. It was in the back of the net, and the next thing we knew, the ref was blowing the final whistle.
It's horrible, I guess, because as a goalie, that little one mistake, you know, is a goal, and a goal in soccer is huge. This guy said, oh, I'm going to make a great photo. We have a bunch of pictures of you making great saves. The photos went up and I was just shocked. It was just, you know, horrible. After those photos were posted, there was a lot of tension. I didn't want to go to school. I felt like taking time off. I didn't want that attention. I didn't want that negativity. We decided we had to do something. And eventually we found this great picture of Kui making a save. And the three or four of us at about 7 p.m. made it our profile picture. I came back about an hour later and my news feed had exploded.
started with the soccer team making our profile pictures, and the girls' soccer team made their profile pictures, but then the whole school got involved. Over 100 people had either liked it, commented on it, tagged themselves in it, made it their profile pictures, and it was like my entire newsfeed was covered in Daniel Klee stories. He came to school the next day like he was 10 feet tall. Once he had that confidence, he was just going for it, throwing himself out there like a ragdoll. And the next season, one game, they were just hammering shot after shot after shot. And Kui makes the best save of his life. He was parallel to the ground, he did a Superman dive, and the ref blew the whistle and we won the game. And I punted the ball up in the sky and I started running. It's like, wow. Best moment of my life. I changed from the freshman kid to Daniel Kui, the beast goalkeeper. The whole school had stood up for someone who needed it. He was a normal kid just like us. We have our highs and our lows. And that's when we realized that we were all Daniel Kui.
What a difference, huh? And so many kids, I know I talked to our superintendent and she said part of the issue that we've developed in our culture in terms of that bystander is, you know, we've often said if you hit Morgan and she hits you back, you're both going to alternative school. So we've trained people in many ways to become bystanders, if you will, and I think at least our school system is looking to see how we can change that, because we do need kids to do more than stand and watch. I saw one kid leave, but the rest of the kids stood there. And how can they watch that? Versus the school in California that said, how can we make this better for him? And in turn, make it better for everyone else. Particularly because they say 80% of bullying incidents, particularly middle school up, have bystanders, but only 10% of the time do kids help the other kid. And I know when Jody came, she taught kids, and if you have young people, kids, you know, she said there are three ways you can help. One, you can obviously go up and say, hey, leave Morgan alone, you know, stop that, and hopefully the other kids will join you. The second thing is, and not everybody's able to do that, and that was the struggle Morgan had. She, and we're still working on it, how can she better have the confidence to speak for herself, to tell someone to stop. The second way is to say, hey, Morgan, you have a phone call in the office, or Morgan, Mrs. Smith said you forgot to turn in your paper. There are a lot of ways that you can get the kid out of the situation without involving yourself in a way that you think could be unsafe. But she said the most important thing is afterwards, that kid feels so isolated and alone. Like Morgan talked about, the school didn't tell anyone that she was being bullied, and a lot of it has to do with privacy of the student. So they were told to stay away from each other. So that's what was happening. The girls getting out on the playground before Morgan with her friends, knowing that Morgan couldn't come over there. So Morgan ended up being the isolated one. So when a child's being bullied and everybody's watching and it leaves, even though they feel bad about it, it's important to go up and say, Mary, I know you had a hard time today. I'm sorry that happened to you, you know. And the third thing is go tell someone. And I don't know any of those kids went and told anyone either until it makes national news. And that wasn't the school's intention, and that wasn't all those kids who watched its intention, but that's what happened. Somebody asked me last week, I think it was, if you could take back Morgan's bullying incident, would you? Or have you all learned so much from it and been able to help people? You know, it's one of those things, I've learned so much in my life that I wouldn't change anything. Well, that's not the case at all. If I could take this bullying situation back, I would take it back. You heard her story. And she insists that we tell the part about her being having to take medication to get through the day, that she was having stomach spasms, where we'd sit down to dinner and she'd almost start to eat and have to go to bed, basically, is what was happening because of the stomach pain that she was having. And yet she was going to school every day, and people would even say to us, we don't see her suffering at school. Well, one, it's because she's taking medication, but two, kids hide that. They don't want anybody to know they're suffering at that level. So that's been a part of Morgan's story that she's wanted to make sure people know. So if they're suffering at that level, they know there's help. And again, she's having a great year this year. So yeah, I take it back, and I wish I could take it back for other kids, but we can't. So that's the opportunity, and I think that's, as they say, why when you are presented with something that's so emotionally close to you, that you can take action. It's funny too, because I do look for things all the time, and I saw Tom Brokaw's last newscast a couple weeks ago. Most of us in here, I think, remember Tom Brokaw, and it was 8 years ago, but it struck me as it relates to this, because he said, it's not the questions that get us into trouble, it's the answers. He said, as important, no one person has all the answers. We need to have common effort to find common ground. We can't give up on our own personal beliefs and our greatest passion, and we can't stop learning from each other. We can't give up on the idea that we're all in this together, and we still are. And I think that's the opportunity for people who are passionate about bullying to come together, to learn from each other, to know that we don't have all the answers, because that's probably the greatest lesson I've learned, is it's so complex and deep and layered. Everybody's experience is different. And so how can we come together, use the resources that are available to us to make a difference for Morgan and for children like her? And what we've learned is, you know, people have tried to make this a school issue. And we've really tried to say, this isn't about the schools. It happens at home. It happens at church. It happens all over the place. It just happens that our kids are in school 5 days a week for 8 hours a day. So a lot of it does happen in school. But we can't count on the schools to solve this themselves. I said, we say to the schools, we need to have better test scores. And, you know, there are a lot of things we need to do. There are kids who come to school that haven't eaten, who've seen violence. And, oh, by the way, you know, we need you to solve this bullying situation. Well, they can't do it alone, and they have said that, and they have invited the community to become a part of it. And that's what we're trying to do. And I think the Kentucky Initiative would obviously go a long way in showing who we are as Kentuckians in terms of compassion and kindness and how we believe we should treat one another. So that is our goal now, and I'm actually done early, which is amazing. I cut so much out thinking that I'm going to be over because I was yesterday. But we'd be happy to take any questions if anyone has any.
What can we do as Kentuckians to further that goal of having Kentucky being the first leader in anti-bullying?
Well, you know, people can certainly send notes to the governor's office or your legislators if you know any of your elected officials. I know Gerald Watkins from Paducah, he's worked to help us. Everything in me says that it will happen. It's been slow to happen, and of course I'm always afraid somebody's going to get ahead of Kentucky, you know. But it doesn't matter. It'll be good, and good things will happen. But, you know, the competitive part of me believes that Kentucky has done so much that it would be great for us to lead the way for other states.
Well, and I think, you know, I was born here and I grew up with that horrible stigma that we were always on the bottom of every list, especially with education. We were third from the bottom. And, of course, now we are not. I mean, our educational system is doing very well and very well respected and leading the way in many ways. But something that is so crucial to the human soul and psyche of all humanities, you know, all over the world, I just think it would be so validating if we could do that. And absolutely. I want to see us do that.
And you know, the bully movie, we're passionate about that also. We have offered to buy that movie and that educational toolkit for any school system that wants it. We bought 8 already for every middle and high school in McCracken County. I spoke to a middle school in Owensboro. We bought it for them. We bought it for Murray State. And Lee Hirsch, I know, has said that he thinks it'll take 1 million kids to see that movie for there really to be a tipping point, because that movie does take you into the lives of those 4 families and to see how deeply affected they are. Because I think it is easy to see Morgan and think, well, she looks great. She has a great life. You know, what does she have to complain about? And yet they don't know what's happening inside of them when they're at school, or they get home and they can't eat and they are afraid to go to school the next day. So it's one of those things where, you know, we can't assume. And I think the bully movie is one thing that is very critical that we do get into our schools. And again, if there's anyone representing another school system, I told people if we run out of money, we will. We can get sponsors in those communities. I do not mind asking people for money. So I do hope that you'll stay for that. And it is available on DVD now also. But I do think that movie is one resource that is a critical piece. And the Not in Our Town organization is doing that. Providing resources and the toolkit. So it's not just seeing the movie. It's about what can you do before the movie and after the movie, and how it can change the hearts of kids. Because it was interesting, I know when I spoke to the Murray Human Rights Commission, Dr. Duncan, who's over undergraduate education here at Murray State, talked about, she'd done all this research on bullying. That's really been her life's work. And she said it, you know, we often want to talk about empathy. And, you know, Morgan, when you do that to Jonna, that makes her feel so bad. And that will affect 75% of the kids. But she said there's 25% of the kids, and this is scary, 25% of the kids that think they are so superior to everybody else, they have the right to do that. So when you say that hurts Morgan's feelings, yeah, that's what I meant to do. So again, it's more complicated than we think. Can reach 75% of the kids by trying to reach their hearts, but the other 25 we have to try to reach another way. And we have to reach the bullies. There were people who told us they were fearful for our safety because we were leading an anti-bullying initiative. You know, it was difficult. And there were times I had to sit and say, is this what I need to be doing? You know, is this what's best for Morgan when people are concerned about her safety? But, you know, again, we have to listen to that inner voice that said you have to keep pushing forward, and things are better. But there were certainly a lot of dark days. And I said there was kind of that undercurrent for a while at school where you knew people wished I wouldn't talk. They wish I'd just let it go. They wished, you know, let's just have some peace. Not that there was controversy, needlessness, but there was enough stress of questioning what we were doing that it made people uncomfortable. And that's what made me realize that the conversation did have to happen if we were going to have change.
You know, one of the things that we can do is we have a cadre of social work students here who will get out petitions that they will take throughout the, you know, we're at 5 sites with our social work program, and they will get out into their communities and get people to sign petitions that we will take to the governor. If you will give me some language that you would like on those petitions, and I bet Jody could make some commitments from the Human Rights Commission.
And you know, that's interesting. I'm glad she mentioned the Murray State Social Work, because when we were looking for partners, the social work students at Murray State came forward, and I know they've been working on projects about how they can go out into the 18 counties that Murray State serves and reach into those small communities of kids who maybe aren't getting help. But if we can be successful with that in terms of, again, a statewide program, then Murray State social work students can train social work students at the other regional universities. And then we're reaching into every community in Kentucky. Kids who are suffering in silence will have a voice and will have a resource. So that's a great synergy that's coming up.
One question and a comment. The question is, have you reached out, and what kind of response have you gotten from the Education Association?
Well, when I talked to the governor's office, they suggested that they were going to talk to KEA. Because, again, they wanted to make sure that they weren't doing something that we would be duplicating. And I haven't gotten any indication that we are. But from my understanding, is the governor's office is doing that for me. Because I did make the offer to call. But they indicated that they would do that.
I think that would be another huge step if they would endorse the effort.
Yes.
And then the comment, I had to say, just for Murray, you know, as Paducah followed on the resolution piece with the city government, and now your county government, you know, as we approach the adoption of some ordinances addressing bullying, you know, that might be something else Paducah would like to model.
Absolutely. And that is a great way. I think we can start linking communities together, you know, and it may be that we piece it together that way to where we do reach across the state. But obviously, I reach out to the governor's office because I think he brings a lot of credibility to a statewide program. He identifies people of influence around the state who are passionate about it, can lead an effort that would make change. And I have to tell a quick story to encourage you when you see things, and the company did make change, so it's not being critical, but we didn't hear it, but Morgan started a Pitica Kids for Kindness page, and so a radio station invited us on there to talk about it, and the DJ told us that he was being bullied, and so not long after that, someone came to me and said that radio station was doing a promotion called the Electric Chair, so you could call in and say who you want to fry in the electric chair, and they make the hissing sound where you can hear it, and you can post it on Facebook, or you could call into the radio station, and you could say. And so I started looking at it, and I would see kids' full name posted. I'd click on their Facebook page, and I would see sad faces. These were profile pictures to me, and they weren't happy. And one girl indicated that she was being physically and emotionally hurt by her sister. So that was a cry for help to me. And I called them and said, "You've got to stop doing this. This is a form of humiliation, embarrassment, drama, because it's just not happening." You know, on that radio station that night, Morgan is calling her friends and saying, "Hey, I'm getting ready to talk about Amber on the radio station, so tune in." And then it does go to school the next day. So they did stop it, and I appreciated it. And a lot of times people don't even realize what's happening. And so when we see some injustice like that done, particularly when it involves our young people, we need to stand up to those businesses and ask them to stop. And again, they did.
I just say thank you. You know, it'd be wonderful if we could get past the need to increase awareness eventually.
Yes.
And say, now let's take action. And like in New Jersey, what had to happen there, they passed a law that required training in the school districts. They had to provide, that's how a district coordinator, anti-bullying district coordinator, that's how an anti-bullying specialist in each school, and every school has to have a program. And a lot of states, they're fearful of doing that because of money. And you know, they quit mandating some curriculum a long time ago. We used to have to have disaster education. It was mandated. Well, they gotta have money. So, unfortunately, it takes laws sometimes to make things happen. And it's unfortunate to do that, but, you know. It's just like awareness. There's just no end to increasing awareness of people. Education always precedes quality implementation.
That's where we're headed here locally.
Yeah, it's taking action.
Where we're taking Murray.
We want meaningful, ongoing action, not a hit and run, you know.
But I do think when we have support, like in Paducah, where we had the city and county, that's what I said, our mayor and county judge just declared us to be a bully-free community, and this type of promotion goes against that. So when you have community support, then those that are doing things that are less than supportive of those initiatives are more likely to change their behavior.
And it is so huge when you open it up to the community, like, okay, City Park. Where are kids out there unsupervised? Or who's supposed to be supervised? A lot of times parents just drop them off and leave. And you've got a police officer that's circling one park, another park. So, I mean, it's a huge undertaking, and the business people are critical. Like you said, like we have a theater, the guy who owns a theater, he will not tolerate it. There are some kids he won't even let come into the theater because of it. And at some point, every businessman has got to have some kind of mentality. Like, you're not going to do that at my store, not in my store,
right.
You know?
They're
going to get down to that, you know?
That is important. 37% of the workforce is bullied, so it's not just the youth issue. It's these kids are growing up, and the bullying behavior continues. So I think business community, I know I've talked to a few HR people, and that's a lot of their training and offerings right now is on workplace violence and workplace bullying. So thank you for your